We'd like to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Decomply, the hassle-free mobile expense tracker and payment app for co-parents. As divorce attorneys, Rebecca and I know that there's one area that almost always becomes an issue after the divorce, and that's the sharing of expenses and the payment of money and support. It's just hard to keep track of who paid what and the doctor's bills, babysitters, kids' activities, etc. Because it's so difficult and time-consuming, many people don't keep up, and this often leads to expensive litigation.
Decomply is a groundbreaking new app that's going to simplify your lives and keep co-parents out of court. The app tracks all expenses, automatically handles notifying your co-parent about their responsibility, and allows payment to be securely made as easily as Venmo, all right within the app. Make things easy and go try Decomply free today. Just search the App Store or Google Play for it. Use the referral code BREAKINGFREE for an additional free month of Decomply. That's Decomply.
Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
The number one thing I find that people believe with mediation is that the mediator's role is that they are like a quasi-judge, that people are going to come into the mediator, they're going to tell their story like they would before a judge, and that the mediator is then going to tell them what to do. The mediator is going to make decisions. And that's actually the exact opposite of what the mediation process is. Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is the resolution revolution, all the ways that mediation can help ease the pain of divorce. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So one of the things that Rebecca and I know as divorce attorneys and mediators ourselves is that mediation can be a very positive process for people to go through in processing their divorce. In fact, we've done a couple of shows on mediation. We did number 130 called Get Divorced Without Losing Your Mind, which was all about incorporating mindfulness into the mediation process. And then we did a special live episode, number 149, called Avoiding Disaster, Divorce Mediation Do's and Don'ts from Top Mediators. But we've never actually done an episode that's just about what mediation is, how the process works, and why it can be a better approach to divorce. So, you know, I get asked all the time questions about mediation that, you know, lead me to understand that people don't always have a clear idea of what mediation is, especially when it comes to divorce. We know that we recently did the Wendy Paris episode from Splitsville to Splittopia. And one of the things that Wendy pointed out in that episode was that the way you choose to go through your divorce has a lot to do not only with how the divorce unfolds, but honestly, how your life after divorce will unfold. So we want to do an entire episode that really breaks what mediation down to tell you about the process and the important benefits that you can get by using mediation to approach your divorce.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that you say. And, you know, I will say that any kind of resolution in a divorce that allows you to continue to have some peace of mind and save money should be something that you should definitely consider. I recently wrote a book on negotiation. It's called Negotiate Like You Matter. And I really talk about what is actually going on in a negotiation. And when I sent out my book to ask for some testimonials, I sent it to Robert Shapiro. And one of the first things he called me, he offered to write the foreword. And And one of the first things he said was, you know, I really don't like divorce attorneys. And, you know, and in my mind, I'm like, well, you're on the phone with me for a reason here. So what is it? Yeah. And so, but basically he just said, I really like your approach and the approach of being able to communicate with each other in an effective manner so that you can, you know, preserve some bit of your sanity and also a lot of your money. So just talking about what mediation is you sit down with a neutral third party who is trained in conflict resolution and, you know, hopefully certified as a mediator and has gone through the training to be a mediator. And the person actually helps you come to a resolution. So the person might sit down with you and your spouse and it's just the three of you. Or maybe it's with you and your spouse and each of your lawyers and it's five of you. And I've also seen mediations where, you know, experts have come along to help. You know, maybe it's a financial expert or something like that. But basically, the idea is that you're voluntarily trying to come to a resolution. Now, many jurisdictions do require mediation before you go to the courts and ask for assistance. But you know, all they can require is that you show up. They can't require that you actually agree to anything. Right,
or that you even try to agree to anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, it still is a very voluntary process. But the traditional litigation route is one where you file your pleadings, the other side is served with the pleadings, and then you go through financial disclosure, and then, you know, it is all before a judge. The judge makes the final decisions. This person who doesn't know you, doesn't know your spouse, doesn't know the family dynamic, you have a very short window of time to try to explain it all to that person. And the judges, you know, they get things wrong all the time, which is why there's an appellate process. So in the mediation process, you and your spouse get to come up with the agreement that you are ultimately going to have to live with. Is it going to be everything that you want? No. But you're not getting everything you want if you go before a judge either.
So, not ever.
No.
No. Trust us. So, we've done this for a very long time. You will not get everything that you want.
Well, you can't split money in half and split the time with your children in half and still end up with a hole.
Yeah.
You
can't split your children.
Work.
Yeah, you can't split your children in half. You know.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, and that's actually, those are two of the big, you know, the big benefits of mediation right off the bat as people are deciding, you know, how they want to proceed. Almost everyone thinks of the fallback or the default litigation process where, you know, everything is compulsory, where you have to file this and you have to provide this, and where if you can't make an agreement, the judge will do it for you. So the pure fact that it's an entirely voluntary process is really one of the big benefits that starts things everything out on, you know, the best footing possible. You and your spouse agree to go to mediation. It's your first agreement, hopefully, not the last. But, you know, one of the things that I've found to be a huge misunderstanding about mediation is now that I'm the ABA's mediation committee chair, I go out and I'm asked to speak to community groups all the time about mediation and what it is. And the number one thing I find that people believe with mediation is that the mediator's role is that they are like a quasi-judge, that people are going to come into the mediator, they're going to tell their story like they would before a judge, and that the mediator is then going to tell them what to do. The mediator is going to make decisions. And that's actually the exact opposite of what the mediation process is, as Rebecca sort of mentioned there. In a mediation process, even when your mediator is an attorney like I am, like Rebecca is, we're both mediators, we are not there and your mediator is not there as your legal representative or your legal advisor.
No. And even if the and the mediator is a neutral person, and even if the mediator is a retired judge, by the way, they still don't make decisions. But they are a good, what I call it, they're a good bellwether. It's a good, like, weather vane. It's sort of like if what you're going to argue is not passing the smell test with this neutral person, then it's probably not going to pass muster with the judge either. You know, if what you want to do is argue how bad the other person is or whatever, and you don't have any legal basis for it, that mediator will tell you that. The mediator is a good person to say, well, I don't know, I'm not sure that that would fly well for a judge. So that's another good thing about a mediator as well. But the other thing is a really good mediator will help you, they'll understand what is incentivizing each side. They'll understand what's motivating each side so that they can kind of help both sides reach a resolution where both sides feel like they're getting something of what they want. And maybe they can point out things that maybe the other side wouldn't necessarily see. Because, you know, the thing about you and your soon-to-be ex is that you have created patterns with each other that where you know how to push each other's buttons. And so, you know, you get into those patterns of pushing each other's buttons, and having that neutral person there really can help actually neutralize the process as well. So, and I do want to just mention that, you know, the role of a mediator, hiring a mediator can happen kind of like at any time. You know, you can do it before you start litigating. You can file your pleadings and start the litigation process and then hire a mediator. You can hire a mediator at sort of like the end, which is sort of common, where right before you go to trial, you have this big mediation, usually with lawyers, and you mediate all of the issues at once. So you can do it at any time in the process.
Yeah. And even if you're doing mediation, even if you start with mediation, one of the things that you always have the ability to do if mediation for whatever reason does not work for the two of you, you always have the ability to fall back on litigation. That method will always be there for you. But I have always encouraged people, and still do, to consider right from the start going through mediation in order to work through the issues of your divorce. Because the difference, I think, is if you go to a mediator at the beginning, then you and your spouse are going to sit down in some fashion with that mediator and work through all of the issues of your divorce and hopefully come to an agreement. Whereas if you're going through litigation, you're at the trial courtroom door, and at that point you decide that you're going to go to mediation, it tends to have a different flavor. It's also still a great process, but the adversarial process has already had a chance to get started, and you've already gone through, you know, sort of that litigation process up to the final moment where you try to settle, you know, just before trial. So they're both helpful, but I would encourage you, if you're thinking about getting divorced, to look at mediation right from the beginning as a possible way to process your divorce without, you know, without having to resort to litigation. And, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the only caveat I give with that is for the people who are the non-moneyed spouse, or sometimes they're called the out spouse or whatever, the person who has no idea what's going on financially. Sometimes, and especially if the moneyed person is a narcissist or even just a really strong personality or a controlling personality, sometimes they push, you know, settling immediately because they want you to go for whatever settlement they want you to go for, without looking into what you might actually be entitled to. So I always tell people to be careful about when you mediate, As long as you feel comfortable that you know what's going on, and maybe some financial disclosure needs to take place before you sit down, just so that both sides feel comfortable. But, you know, a lot of times what happens in the beginning is that one side feels like the other side's hiding money or hiding assets or going to hide something or whatever. So definitely allay those concerns and then start mediating.
Yeah, you know, that mediation, again, the mediation process is always available to you. And one thing that I do like about the mediation process as well that sort of addresses what you're talking about, Rebecca, is, you know, if you have that situation where one of the spouses feels that they're at a disadvantage to the other spouse, be it that the other spouse has more financial acumen or is just a, you know, someone who negotiates daily in life or has a better understanding of the finances, whatever that might be, you can build a team in mediation that gives the party who needs support, be it just one of the parties or both of them, to put everything together and give that person the support so that when they come to the table to negotiate, they feel supported, they feel that they can make educated decisions. One really important thing that I encourage almost, you know, actually every mediation client I have to do is to have a consulting attorney at the time that they're going through the divorce. So they don't necessarily have to bring that attorney into the room or into the divorce, the mediation process, but they definitely should have someone who's there to support them with legal advice, and that's, you know, specific to their situation. So that's definitely, you know, something that mediation can be tailored, because I know people worry about that. They worry that they're going to go to mediation and be taken advantage of. But that's also another role of the mediator, to help the parties identify if one of the parties is feeling less supported and to help them, you know, find the support that they need. And that's supporting both of them. Because if one of the parties needs something, they need an advisor, they need an attorney, they need, you know, some additional support, both parties actually need it or the process is never going to move forward. So that's very helpful.
Yeah. And the other way that mediation can be done actually is like in 2-hour increments at a time rather than doing all the issues at once. And if you do it that way, then you can actually identify, okay, what financial disclosure do we think we need so that we can feel comfortable moving forward, or we feel like we have the information that we need to come to a resolution. So you can say, okay, today we're going to focus in on the assets. So what do we need to get information around the assets? Maybe the wife needs to get her retirement account statements, the most recent ones, or something like that. And we can make agreements around that and say, well, you know, by this date or X date or by the next mediation, these documents will be, you know, given to the other person. So that can be very helpful too.
We're going to take a quick break now to talk about our newest sponsor, Hello Divorce. Divorce is hard enough on its own. You're thrown into the legal system. You have no idea what you're doing. Hello Divorce understands that, and they offer an affordable, convenient online option for Californians. Easy form preparation, instant access to legal information, loads of articles, affordable, convenient, and low-stress divorce.
One of the things I love the most about Hello Divorce is the sheer number of options that it gives you. When you sign up for your free account, you get access to their curated library of tools and resources, and you also get a 15-minute free personalized divorce strategy session. They have a do-it-yourself option for divorce, but they also have an option that gives you your own legal document assistant who will handle your entire divorce start to finish for you. You can even hire the a la carte services of an attorney just to make sure you're on track. Without having to pay an expensive retainer, you can purchase increments of time in as little as 30 minutes. So find out more at hellodivorce.com and be sure to let them know you heard about it at Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on The Resolution Revolution, how mediation can ease the pain of divorce.
The other thing, you know, we didn't say this, but it's sort of implied in all of this, is that it's private. I mean, you go, you're in a courtroom, and anyone and their brother can walk in and listen to what's going on, and now know about all your personal stuff, your personal finances, and every little detail of your marriage and everything else.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including From Splitsville to Splittopia, a look back on the good divorce 6 years later, with best-selling author Wendy Paris.
Decide what kind of person you want to be in the world and in this relationship, and that applies even in a divorce. Like, I feel like if you can slow down and kind of put your anger aside or your hurt aside or your desire out aside and remember that you're still, you know, you're still the same person, and you have to live with yourself through this and on the other side. And this person who you loved enough to marry is also a very important person.
And now we return to today's show.
That's actually another one of the benefits of divorce mediation, is that you and your spouse control the pace of the proceedings. You can decide to have as many meetings as you want. You can have them as close in time to each other as you want. You can spread them out so that you can go talk to your other advisors or just think about it. I tell people in mediations all the time that, you know, when they receive a proposal, yes, no, or I need to think about it are all fair answers. You don't have to make an immediate decision. And again, because we want, in mediation, the idea is to come up with those agreements that you have, you know, put the thought and the effort into so that they're going to be the ones that work for your family. So, you know, definitely the speed of the process or the ability to tailor the process is something, you know, litigation, you don't actually have as much ability to make it a process that works for you as you do with mediation.
And I would say another one of the benefits is that you can come up with agreements that a judge can't order, because a judge is tasked, a judge is an arm of the law. So the judge is tasked with applying the law. They gather the facts, they look at the facts, and then they apply the law. The judge is not tasked with, you know, making sure things are exactly fair the way you think fair should be.
Oh, yeah, no.
You know, it's fair under the law, but maybe you don't think that's fair. So, you know, the judge really doesn't have the ability to veer off of what the law is, because then what happens is appeals get taken, and if there was an error of a matter of law, that will be reversed. And so, and judges don't want to be reversed, because then, you know, when it's time for re-election or whatever, things don't go well for them sometimes or whatever. So they really just can only apply the law. But in a mediation, you can, you know, agree to pay 100% of your salary in alimony if you want to. I mean,
and people, you know, have done things like that in mediation.
Yeah.
You know, and that's actually a really important factor, because, you know, as Rebecca just said, there are instances in a courtroom where a judge is going to, you know, there's a law, it's clear, the judge is going to apply it. They have no discretion with that. But there are other areas where judges do have discretion. And, you know, again, as Rebecca just said, it's never a sure thing that the judge in their discretion is going to think, you know, the solution that they come up with is the one that you would agree is the right one. So it's going to be the judge's discretion, not yours. So mediation allows you both to, you know, use your best efforts and thoughts in crafting these agreements. And if there are things that would make it work better for your family that don't comport with the law, as long as they're not illegal or against public policy.
You can agree to prostitute your children.
Exactly.
For example.
Yeah, there are certain things you are not allowed to do, but that's a, you know, other than that, you can agree to almost anything in mediation, as long as you're making a knowing and educated decision and you know what the law did provide, but you chose to do something else. So,
right. And then what happens is it's enforceable under contract law. law. Not necessarily, you know, the law because a family law was applied or whatever. It's applicable because you and your spouse entered into a contract. And unless there was duress or coercion or, you know, fraud. You were drunk when you signed it or fraud or, you know, or you were under 18 or something like that, you were incompetent. It's not going to get set aside. It's a contract
right.
at that point.
Yep. So, you know, another benefit of mediation that I definitely want to touch on, because it's one of the less obvious benefits, but it's something that I have seen over and over again as I have worked with clients in mediation, and that is the mediation process itself helps to improve the communication between the couple who are getting divorced. You know, obviously, at a time when you're getting divorced, most couples are not in a place where they're communicating well. In fact, that usually has something to do with why they're getting a divorce. But in order to go forward in the best way possible after the divorce, especially if you're going to co-parent children, you do need to learn new ways of communicating with each other, new ways of being able to discuss, even if it's just to discuss what's in your children's best interests and make decisions together going forward. So
I always say, even if you despise the other person.
Yeah, well, I had that client who said that so many years ago, but she had a very difficult ex-husband, and someone said to her one day, you know, I don't know how you do it. How do you smile at him and nod and, you know, get along? And she said, I love my children more than I don't like him. And so my children love him, and therefore I will work with him. And she was able to, you know, create a new way of communicating with him. And that's actually one of the things that mediation excels at. Because when you go the litigation route, and basically what you do is you walk into your attorney's office, put your case in their hands, and they go do all the negotiating for you, the talking for you. That's what their role is, right? They're your advocate. They're there to talk for you. And they're not even talking to your spouse, they're talking to your spouse's attorney in most cases. So
yeah, and they're billing for every single one of those.
Oh yeah, like double billing both ways. They talk to you, then they talk to the other attorney. You got billed for them talking to you, and you get billed for them talking to the other attorney. That's the
yeah
model.
So if developing great communication skills isn't enough of an incentive for you, how about money?
Yes, saving a lot of it.
Let's talk about money. So a 2008 Wall Street Journal article reported that the average divorce, litigated divorce, was $78,000. This is, mind you, almost 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Hourly rates have gone up quite a bit. So the average litigated divorce, the average litigated divorce was $78,000 12 years ago. And the average mediated divorce was $7,000. And it can be a whole lot less than that, even if you're not using an attorney at all and you're just using a mediator, it's probably going to be a lot less than that, potentially. So, you know, basically it's 10 times.
Yeah.
10 times the amount to litigate. So, you know, and I always tell people, you know, I have plenty to do. I don't need to make every dollar and put my kid through college on your case. You know, if you settle your case, there will be many clients behind you for me to work on. So better for you to settle your case if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that mediation is probably, other than doing it yourself with no assistance, is probably the least expensive route to resolving your divorce issues, is definitely, I think, one of the reasons why so many people do consider it and choose it. And it's a very valid reason. And in fact, if you're talking to your spouse and you want them to consider mediation, this is definitely one of those factors that is compelling. to draw people in. I mean, even people, you know, these days, most people don't want to spend this type of money or don't have this type of money to spend. But even if you do have it, Rebecca and I work with some extraordinarily wealthy people, but they don't want to blow $78,000 or $178,000 or $578,000 on their divorce. And so, you know, mediation, don't think that it just because it's less expensive, only people who can't afford litigation are doing mediation. A lot of the most, you know, high net worth individuals out there are choosing mediation over other methods because of all the other benefits. And sure, saving money, nobody, you know, ever dislikes saving money. You know, but one of the things that I hear quite often from people when they do the consultation about mediation is they love the benefits, they love the idea of mediation, they love all these things about it, but they just don't want to sit in the same room with their spouse and go through this. It's too painful a time or it's too difficult to contemplate being together. But even in this way, you know, modern trends in mediation, I think, are providing alternate ways to handle your mediation so that you can alleviate some of that discomfort. In fact, you know, my entire practice, as you know, Rebecca, is online, and much of your practice is online as well, I know. And that in and of itself, with a mediation that's conducted online, you and your spouse will see each other, but you don't have to be in the same room with each other. You don't have to, you can actually be somewhere where you're more comfortable. I mean, most of my clients, honestly, are either at home on their couch with their dog, or they're sitting in their office with the door closed and their, you know, assistant outside so they can conduct the divorce mediation. But the online mediation format has many benefits, I mean, obviously, but that is one of the ones that I had so many people do the consult saying they really wanted to consider mediation, but in the end, couldn't get over that discomfort factor. So, you know, the divorce and mediation online is something that definitely I encourage people to consider. It's really kind of the new wave of mediation. In fact, so many of my colleagues in the mediation world want to know how I do it that I actually am now teaching the online practice to colleagues through my business Learn to Mediate Online. So, you know, I think you're going to find more and more practitioners out there who are offering online services. So another thing to keep in mind if you and your spouse are considering mediation for your divorce.
Yeah, definitely. And I would just say my law practice is not online. That is still brick and mortar back in Florida. But I do coaching for negotiation online, which is great because I'm, you know, I have a client in Canada right now that I'm coaching for negotiation. You know, I mean, I have clients all over that I can coach that way. So it's really great. And it's very, the other thing, you know, we didn't say this, but it's sort of implied in all of this is that it's private. I mean, you go, you're in a courtroom and anyone and their brother can walk in and listen to what's going on and now know about all your personal stuff, your personal finances and every little detail of your marriage and everything else, you know, and the more you litigate, the more you're filing pleadings online at, or in court as well. And all those things are accessible. It's really hard to seal court files. It's almost impossible unless you're like a high profile, you know, you have to show all kinds of harm or whatever. It's supposed to be government in the sunshine and, you know, whatever. So it's really hard to get pleading sealed. So it's, you know.
They're almost never sealed. I mean, unless it's something about your children. And I mean, something really that the court, you know, as we've said in other episodes, shocks the judicial conscience and the court feels the child needs to be protected. Almost never will you see those files sealed. So one, you know, we don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to make sure that we talk about one of the very important ways that mediation helps you even after your divorce is final, because this is another one of those perhaps not so obvious benefits. But Rebecca and I both know this to be true. that when people mediate their agreements, when they sit down together or work together on an online platform in mediation to make the decisions and the agreements that go into their final divorce judgment, that is an agreement that people find much easier to live with. They've worked together. They've heard each other out on these issues. They've chosen what they can and cannot live with. And then they've agreed to it. And people can follow that type of agreement. But it's human nature that when you go to court and someone else tells you, like Rebecca talked about earlier, you know, the man or the woman in the black robe telling you, you're going to pay this, you're going to get this, and you'll see your kids on this day and this day, people just automatically knee-jerk reaction don't want to follow orders. And so sooner or later, with imposed judgment, one of the parties at least is going to try and change it. So you see a lot more post-dissolution motions after a litigated divorce than after a mediated.
And also, I mean, judges' orders are appealable and mediation agreements are not.
Absolutely.
So, yep. You know, I mean, even if you get a judge's decision that has 100% of everything you wanted, which you'll never get, but let's just say you do. The other side's definitely appealing it.
Yeah.
And appeals are expensive.
Oh, and
really expensive.
Time consuming.
I mean, $50,000 minimum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and so, that's all, you know, more money down the drain. And by the way, the orders that you got can be overturned. And then you go back to, you know, square one on those orders to start over again if you're sent back, you know, some of
Or they could be stayed until the mediation, I mean, until the appeal is done.
Oh, yeah.
So that means they just hang out there and don't do anything. So no fun then.
Right.
So.
So, you know, mediation is one of those things that has so many benefits to it and allows you to retain so much control over your life that it's something that I spend a lot of time going out to the public and encouraging people to have this in the back of your mind. So even if you're not facing divorce or you don't know anyone, sooner or later, with the statistics that we are facing today, that 50% of first marriages end in divorce, and for, you know, subsequent marriages, the rate's actually higher. Sooner or later, someone you know may be facing this eventuality, and you would be doing them a favor, in my, you know, estimation, if you at least let them know they should consider the possibility of mediating.
Yeah. So I think that's about all the time that we have. I would just say, for me, if you want a free negotiation cheat sheet, you can go to winmynegotiation.com. And Susan, I know you have some specials as well.
Yeah, well, I'm actually, so many of my colleagues, when I do talk about mediation and the online platform, so many colleagues want to know how I'm doing it. So I'm actually, I have my online program that I teach people, but I'm also going to be having a special one-time only webinar where I'll be doing the two-hour course with the online mediation guidelines and ground rules. I'm going to be doing that at various times during the year, but the very first one is going to be in January on the 24th. So you can go to learntomediateonline.com to register. It's half the price of the regular program. So I encourage anybody who's interested in learning how to conduct their mediations online to go to learntomediateonline.com and check it out.
All right. Well, I think that does it for us for this time, but definitely consider mediating if you're getting ready to do a divorce.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.